On this first Sunday in the season of Advent, we come together, waiting on the Lord, seeking the face of Emmanuel. Would you pause and prepare your hearts and minds for worship? During Advent, we wait for light in the darkness. During Advent, we wait for freedom from captivity. During Advent, we wait for comfort in sorrow. During Advent, we wait for power in weakness.
Thank you.
We declare this morning that this is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, a season of mourning, a season of repentance and spiritual devotion, as we take stock of the sacrifice that Christ came and was born to make for us. During this season, we encourage you to reflect on your life and on your relationship with this Jesus who was born so long ago. We want to say several words of thank you this morning. We thank you. We're thankful for those who are with us for the first time or frequent visitors. We are glad to have you always a part of our worship and a part of this experience. This is God's house, not ours, and He extends a warm welcome to you. We encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can fill out a visitor card. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, and you can place that in the offering plate today. We also want to say a word of thanks to all those who work so hard to decorate our church, our sanctuary, for the season. There's some new surprises that we've noticed around the room and some beautiful additions to our decorations and some time-honored traditions that are here as well. It is wonderful to walk in and physically begin to worship just by what we see in this space together. We're also thankful for those who are continuing to serve and teach, and I want to especially lift up those who are serving and teaching and leading during this season, because you think about all of the responsibilities that you have this month, parties to prepare for, your home to clean for guests, meals to cook, and on top of all of that, they are still faithful in their responsibilities to the church. So I want to commend them for that this morning. As we worship, we are thinking about Advent and thinking about, as the song reminded us, that this is a time for waiting and for longing. And as we worship, we encourage you to keep that theme in your mind and in your heart. Before we continue our worship this morning, I want to invite John Russell on behalf of the stewardship team to come forward. He wants to just share an update on the budget process that's a little bit different for this coming year.
Good morning. I was thinking, I usually don't do papers. I just talk off my heart. That's what I talk about. This year, how do you love on people and how you figure that out? And how do you explain certain things and how you don't? But what I do know is each one of us, all of us, is loved by God. And sometimes when we talk about stewardship, we just think about money all the time. Money this, money that. But there's reality to that too. But to be able to do the things we want to do, unfortunately, it comes down to those greenbacks. So this year, I want to change it up a little bit, how we're going to do the budget at the end of the year. But I want to do a reality check right quick. The last 5 years, our church has kind of gone through different changes. We've had different staff. And this is the first year we've had our full staff again, which we're grateful for. And can I get an amen on that? Okay, so we got our full staff. We're back in progress, and we're moving forward. So in that process of moving forward, we kind of got used to certain things. But as of today, we've been able to collect and have our offerings brought in was $237,826, which is great. But the little uh-oh in it is our expenses were $2,708,447. So there's a difference, a little over $40,000 we're short on. And in saying that, we do have contingency funds that we've gone into and taken care of that. But it's also one of those things that we need to bring to your attention. So what we'd love to do is we've asked at the last round table to have our actual budget in January instead of December. But December 10th, we would love to see every one of you out there December 10th to kind of talk about the details of the budget. And then in January, talk about how we can move forward as a group. Because you see, every one of you is very important. And what you all think is very important. Love to see everybody say something. I don't mind staying late for that one. So we'll invite you out December 10th. You'll see it in your bulletin, which is next Sunday, for a roundtable to kind of talk about the budget in more detail. And then in January, come back. And I know budgets, if you know anything about Christopher Robbins, he's got a donkey on there called Eeyore, and he always goes, you know, all the time. He's just down about everything. We don't want to be down about everything. I love that y'all did the hope thing this morning. That's perfect, you know, because we've got to have hope. I mean, this is God's given us an opportunity to serve, and we just got to find a way to do that together. But thank y'all so much, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all the 10th, and we'll move forward from there. But thank you for loving on me, and I'm loving on you guys, and let's love together, and let's see how we can serve God. Thank y'all.
First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to the sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, we come to you in worship and thanksgiving during this season of Advent. You are greater than we can begin to understand. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truths you have shown to us in your Son, Jesus. You are more loving than our hearts can respond to. Help us to give ourselves to you in worship, not just this day, but every day, so that we learn what you want us to be. You are wiser than we can begin to know. Steal our minds as we worship you, so that we can understand the things that you are saying to us this day. Loving God, in Jesus you chose to come to the world in humility. You chose the path the world should see. You chose each one of us to understand your Son, the Christ. You used what the world considered weak to reveal to us what we should see as great, in the form of a son, in the form of a baby. Father God, we come to you this day worshiping and adoring you, and we lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive ones who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, Change My Heart, O God, a medley of songs. Please stand.
We're going to change things up a little bit in the bulletin. All right, children. Okay. This book right here.
who is on this book? Sonny, you want to come up here? No, okay. Who is this? Y'all ever seen this person before? Let me show it up here. Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss. Y'all seen this? Dr. Seuss. Well, Dr. Seuss tells about, oh, the places you go. And right now we're talking about Advent, aren't we? Well, y'all weren't in here, but they were in here. So this whole month we're talking about Advent. And what is Advent? Y'all ever heard of Advent? No? Well, let's talk about Advent a little bit. Advent is, well, let's talk about the book first, and then we'll get to Advent. In this, you know, in this book it talks about places you go. And in this book it tells you that you have to wait everywhere you go to. And Dr. Seuss tells us that you have to wait. They're waiting about when the train, you have to wait for the train to go by. You have to wait for the bus to come. You have to wait for the planes to go, for the mail to come, for the rain to go, for the phone to ring, for the snow to snow, waiting for yes or no. I mean, you have to wait for mama to say yes or no if you want to go somewhere or do something. You're waiting for your hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Well, by the time you get 70 years old, this is what I read on the internet, you've wasted 3 years of your life. Did y'all know that? By the time you get 70 years old, you've wasted 3 years of your life waiting. Wow, I'm getting there. I probably wasted 2 years now of my life. But, you know, where are the places you have to wait? The worst place I hate to wait is at Walmart in the line. You have to wait in the grocery store when you go shopping. You have to wait at the doctor's office to go see the doctor. You have to wait at lunch to get your lunch at school, don't you? Luke, you have to wait at lunch? Do you have to wait for lunch sometimes? Yeah. You have to wait at recess to play a game. No, you get to play right away. Okay. Now, Advent. What is Advent? Advent is a time of waiting. Right now, we're talking about a time of waiting. We're talking about a time of waiting. I particularly don't like to wait. Do y'all like to wait on things? How about, you see that tree over there? Do you have a tree at home yet? Yeah? Is there presents under that tree? Not yet? Yeah, you do? I don't have presents under my tree yet, either. But when you do get the presents under your tree, is it hard to wait till Christmas to open up those presents? Is it hard? Well, let me tell you what, when I was a little girl, I couldn't wait. And let me tell you what I did. I would take the presents, I would unwrap them, and I would look at it, and then I'd wrap them back up and stick them back under the tree. That wasn't nice, was it? And my mama never knew it because she was off somewhere, and she left me home alone. That's what she gets for leaving me home alone, wasn't it? And then she found out, and I got in big trouble, and I got a big spanking. I didn't do it anymore because that spanking really, really hurt bad. Okay, but Advent is a time of waiting, and right now we're waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus is going to come again. Okay, so while we're waiting, what can we do while we're waiting? Listen, Langston. While we're waiting, we can think about Jesus and his love. We could think about the beautiful music we're here. We could think about the beautiful decorations that are in here or at your house. So while we're waiting for Christmas to come and Jesus' return, we could worship and praise him. We could love and serve him. And we could love others. So let's pray, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, as we spend time in this waiting place, let's look forward with great joy to celebrate Jesus' birth, and one day he will come again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all want to take this book and y'all can read it up there. Thank you.
the war broke out, we found ourselves running with friends. We fled the war from South Sudan and we came here together with my twin brother to Kampala. Sometimes I blame God. I keep on blaming myself. It started at night, we had to run out. We left our parents, we don't know where they are right now. It was horrifying. We have no choice. We had to run. In South Sudan, I don't know. Killing is just normal to people. People kill each other, like slaughtering hens. We come to the city so that we can try to make our life better. We ended up on the street and we had nowhere to sleep. One day, some of my friends told us there's some place called Refuge and Hope. In Refuge and Hope, we tried to talk to each other about the Word of God. So when I came to know about Jacob and Esau, I was like, what? I think they took the name from the Bible. I never took time to ask my mom, why did he actually really choose that name, Jacob, and my brother Esau? I wish I can have that moment. I'm just trying my best to help other youth. You know, this place is full of different refugees. Some of them even have worse story than me.
They are the life of the youth group in many ways. A lot of the younger youth really look up to them. They're amazing young men. We feel very blessed to even be a part of their lives.
Thank God for this place. This is a place I want to be in, whereby I can forget all the negative memories. We forget about the past. And forget the nightmare which we went through.
Country at the time the political is not stable, so the soldier, the military have more power than the government. First we arrive here, we don't know nobody. We just ourselves, our family. Nobody help us, nobody hi, hello. Even the communication also very difficult because the is kind of very straight country. If we saw somebody from the refugee or something new, we like to help them because we feel that the feeling before. So we want them to be very warm.
I help them as much as I can because when I see somebody newly came from other country, we feel like the way we came before. So I try to help them as much as we can. That's how we met with Kim and Mark.
We were in one of those neighborhoods carrying stuff when a fella came up and he said, can I give you a hand? Well, yes. I'm not going to turn down somebody who wants to help carry furniture up three flights of stairs. Not too long after that, here come 24 bottles of water. Thomas sat in the apartment and told everyone, if you're thirsty, here's water. He was just caught by the fact that someone did this for his family before they got here. They walked into a furnished apartment with groceries in the fridge and a hot meal from home when they got here, and he wanted to pay it back. And he said, "Mark, anytime I'm not working, may I help you?" "Yes, Thomas, please, I need your help."
People need to treat them like very kind, you know, very open hearts. They need to be feel like they're home place. We have to be like their brothers or sisters so that they will be feel safe with us.
We have a thumb drive with about 15 stories like this, and the missionary in me wants to play all of them for you, and we just do that today. But I wanted to highlight those two because they represent the two arms of CBF Global Missions. One in a very far-off place, dealing with things that we only hear about on the radio and NPR stories late at night. The other, the second one, takes place right here in North Carolina. Mark and Kim Wyatt are CBF missionaries in Raleigh, North Carolina, and that's where Hope House is started to help welcome refugees. Both of those are just examples of what the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship does through the Global Missions offering each year. And every year it is a Christian tradition, a Baptist tradition of collecting money for the missionaries. And so this year we've set that money to go towards CBF Global Missions to support work like what you saw, and also work like what Carson and Laura Fushi, some of our own homegrown missionaries, are doing in Japan. Next Sunday, during the offering time, we ask you to take one of the offering envelopes that you see out in the foyer. There's a little table station there with some more information. If you do nothing else, but take one of the daily prayer guides, which lists the names and activities of all CBF Global field personnel and gives you an opportunity to pray for them throughout the year, at least do that. But we're encouraging you to come next Sunday prepared to give towards our CBF Global Missions offering.
Our offertory hymn is hymn 199, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." Let's stand. You recognize the tune of it.
Father, we pray that you would still our minds, that you would take the focus off of the busyness in our life, the worries of things that we need to do, we haven't done, we want to do, and that at this time of Advent, you would put our focus squarely on your Son and let him direct us at you. We are grateful for what you have given us in a Savior. We are grateful for the way you've blessed us in our individual lives. We are humbled when we see videos that remind us that we have more that we probably throw away than many people on this earth have. We pray that today, as we come to a time of giving, that you would make us mindful of how blessed we are. Bless these givers. Bless the money. Use it for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to hear again the words of Scripture as we turn to the prophet Isaiah, who wrote these words long ago for this very moment in your life. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the works of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember sin forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, we are blown by the wind like leaves, this way and that way. Wherever the tide takes us, we float along. But you have called us to be people of resistance, people who go against the tide and stand 2 feet firmly planted, braced against the wind. Help us to be bold in our faith this Advent season, to not simply go along with what the market and the world tells us, but to be a people who tell a different story. We are people who are alive and breathed by grace and grace alone. We know your mercy. Help us to live in response to your grace. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we seek you in your word. Though it is timeless, it is timely for us here and now. May we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. In life, they say that timing is everything. And when you consider the various life moments, it's very true. That statement holds up. Maybe it's not everything, but it certainly is worth a lot. If you're firing up hamburgers on the grill, if you leave those burgers on just a little bit too long, they'll be overcooked and yucky. Likewise, if you bring them up too soon, you risk them being undercooked, mealy, and perhaps even dangerous to eat. The soldier in war knows that timing is everything. It can be the difference between life and death. Fire your rifle too late, and you may not fire it at all. Fire it too soon, and you may waste your shot. Some of you have gone through the blessing of childbirth in recent years, and you know that in birth, timing matters so much. If the child is born too soon, there will be complications. If the child is born too late, there will be complications. But there is that perfect, unpredictable, divine appointed moment that birth must happen. And sometimes God even has to whisper that in the doctor's ear, and you make an appointment. But even then, timing is desperate. It matters. Timing matters in dating life. Those of you who have boyfriends and girlfriends know that there is a moment when it's too soon to hold hands. Or how long do you wait before you return a text? If you text immediately, does it make you look desperate? If you don't text soon enough, does it make you seem uninterested? Timing is everything, and in this Sunday, the first Sunday in the season of Advent, we enter into a season that is all about time and timing. Because God knows that timing matters, and all throughout the ages of Scripture, time plays a central role into God's activity. He waits, and then he acts. He never rushes, and he never delays. He is always on time. And as the great wise teacher of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. And we may not always understand that timing, but God certainly does. And so in the season of Advent, we are saying that now is not the time for Christmas. It's a jarring experience for some people, because everywhere we look and everywhere we turn, the world is telling us that it is Christmas. But throughout the ages, the church has proclaimed this movement of the seasons, from Advent, where you're waiting for Christmas, you're preparing for Christmas, to Christmas Eve, when you finally light the Christ candle and you place baby Jesus in the manger, all the way through January 6th, when you celebrate the Epiphany, the coming of the wise men. As our youth have already pointed out to us today, this is a lie. The wise men at the manger. But we do certain things during Advent to try to resist the lie, like there is no figure of baby Jesus. We wait. It's hard to wait when the culture and the world, and I would even go so far as a Baptist preacher to say the forces of darkness themselves want us to skip over Advent and jump from the ha-ha-ha of Thanksgiving to the fa-la-la-la-la of the Christmas season and do none of this waiting and mourning and repentance and confession and spiritual discipline stuff of Advent. I walked into a store and saw a great banner at the entrance that said, "Believe it or not, Christmas is here." And I said to myself out loud, "I don't believe it because it's September." And yet, even before Halloween is taken off the shelves, we already see Christmas and New Year's Eve, and even before Thanksgiving comes, which maybe only exists for a day in the marketplace, but even before that comes, you begin to see February themes of Valentine's and hearts. Who does all of this storytelling benefit? It benefits the world and the markets and consumption and consumerism. And it is hard to hear a voice whispering underneath all of that, slow down. Wait. Deal with this season first. And in our scripture, we'll see Jesus not making a case for Advent, it didn't exist at his time, but making a case for the message of Advent, the message that must be heard no matter what the world is saying. And most people, when they're honest, don't like Advent. I had someone this year said, "You're not going to preach that Advent stuff again, are you?" Because we want to sing joy to the world. We want to sing the sweet sentiments of Silent Night. We don't like these minor key mournful songs that say, oh come Emmanuel. We would prefer to skip that and move on to the celebration stuff. Just like little kids who want to peek in their presents before it's time. Jesus, in Mark's gospel, we find him today in a passage that's being read all across the Christian world. Churches in all corners are reading this passage today, and it's shocking to the world because we find here not a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, but the man, Jesus, talking not about angels and Gabriel whispering to Mary, not about wise men or any of that, but Jesus preaching about the end of the world and how it is coming and the time is running out and timing matters and now is the time. Jesus says, but in those days after that suffering, that phrase alone always gives me chills. What suffering? Is it the suffering we see now in the world, or will it get worse? Is it the suffering that I've experienced, or will I experience some deeper level of pain? But after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. It's not such a bad start. Jesus begins by saying that he's going to come back someday. And that is the meaning of Advent. The word means arrival. We celebrate the coming of Jesus at Bethlehem, but at the same time, Advent reminds us that there is a second Advent. That's why we say we are living between times. The second coming is the one that he is talking about now at the end of the age. He goes on in verse 28 to say, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I initially take a little bit of false hope from what Jesus is saying, because he gives me the sense that somehow I will be able to know. I can just wait till the last moment. And then if there's anything I need to change about my life or any confession that needs to be made or anything I need to say to someone that's been left unsaid for too long or any forgiveness I need to seek from someone I've hurt, or anything that I need to do, if I were told that today is my last day, I would get it done. I would take care of it because I would know the timing and that time is running out. I would do whatever I had to do and say all that must be said. Jesus said, when you see these things, you know that the time is at hand. Wait a little too late, and what should have been said can never be said. What should have been done can never be done. But then Jesus turns right around and confounds my hope by telling me, but about that day or hour, no one knows. He says, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus has just told me he does not even know. Tell that to the guy on late night television who keeps making predictions about the end of the world, and he has the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, and tells me, see, here's a prediction that's come true. Here's a prediction. It's going to be this week. And Jesus says, I don't know. I don't know. The angels don't know. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Advent tells us to wake up and to keep awake and keep watch. Watch in hope, but also watch in some degree of earnest fear. Not that we are afraid of God, but that we have a deep reality check and respect for our relationship with God. Advent says, don't just skip to Christmas. No matter how bad you want to, that's the world's voice. That's the word, of the enemy, saying this is all just petty preacher stuff. This is all stuff that doesn't really matter. But what Jesus is saying is what does matter is to take some time and prepare your heart. What if you took the season of Advent to just once a day consider the death of Jesus? That's why we sing the mournful songs, because we know that he was born, but he was born to suffer and to be hungry, to have sleepless nights in the desert floor, to be mocked and ridiculed, to be beaten and disfigured and tortured, to have his hands and feet nailed upon wood, hung there as he slowly suffocated and eventually speared in the side. And when you think about those things, it changes you. You start to think about the things that you've done that you wish you hadn't, said that you wish you hadn't. You become aware that maybe I don't have as much time as I think I do on this earth. And if I knew the world was ending tomorrow, I know what I would do, so why don't I just do it? Why don't I just do it now? Confess the anger that we have, or the jealousy that we have, or the materialism that we fall victim to. Confess that we do spend more on ourselves than we give to the Lord, that we spend more time, more energy, more thought on ourselves than we do on others. Confess our rage, our apathy. Confess that we have had times in our life when we knew we should have acted, knew we should have spoken, but we did not. Advent is a time not just for confession, but genuine repentance, where we say, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. Change me. I am the clay. You are the potter. Advent is a time of simplicity, where we try to get rid of the distractions, not heap them upon ourselves. It is in the quiet, dark closet when we are all alone, when we are the most honest to God. I invite you today to respond to God. Perhaps you are someone who is still hanging on to a sin, and you've been hanging on to it for years, and you know that it is eating you up and destroying you. Confess it. I invite you to come to the altar, to stand or kneel. You don't have to talk to me. You can go straight to God. But I think there is power in moving from the pew and the apathy and the stagnation of sitting or standing there and coming forward as a physical and outward sign, like baptism. Perhaps there are some here in this room who've never actually followed through with baptism. You've claimed grace and mercy. You maybe even serve and are active in the church. But I would argue that we are not very good disciples if we have not acted in obedience to Christ. It is an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace, and it matters. Perhaps there are some of you here this morning who have come to church your whole life. Maybe you've been a churchgoer faithful for 30, 40, 50 years, but you can never tell that was a moment where you actually decided anything, or you actually made any choice for yourself. Your grandma went to church, your mom went to church, but as the old spiritual goes, no one can go for you. You have to go there by yourself. Perhaps you're someone who's come today and you just feel lost. And you don't know how to put that in words, and you just need someone to talk to. Come. As we sing our closing hymn, come. We give invitations all the time and nobody responds, but perhaps God has spoken to your heart today. If he has, come. Because the last thing you want to do is leave this place exactly like you came. Would you please stand together if you are able as we sing our hymn of response, Soon and Very Soon.
Yeah.